Warning, the following podcast contains spoilers and swears. Hi there, who are you?
I'm Evelyn Rogers, who are you?
I'm your father, Scott Rogers. What are we doing here?
This is a podcast.
About what?
The Magicians.
What?
Yeah.
I thought we were done with that show.
We're not done.
We just had a very long break.
Well,
we missed all of you, and here we are. We're back again.
Yep.
Ready to talk about?
The Magicians and Magicians-related things.
Yes, and what episode are we talking
about?
We're
talking about Season 4, Episode 6, A Timeline and Place.
Nice. All right,
Who is it directed by?
I have no idea. I didn't pay attention.
You didn't pay attention?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. We were being distracted.
Yes.
All right, so tell us about this episode. How does it start?
Well, the first thing I want to say is we are now going to start doing every other week instead of every week for an episode.
Bi-weekly.
We're
going bi.
Yeah. That is because we're both very busy with work and school now, and it's getting a little hard to schedule when we are going to record.
And to be honest, we don't like seeing Mrs. Rogers' very disappointed face when we don't get an episode out on time.
That's true. We don't like to disappoint Mom.
Nope.
But we're hopefully not disappointing her today, because she did, in fact, remind us to record. we're here to talk about, as I said before, Season 4, Episode 6, A Timeline and Place. So before we begin, I want to point out, so in the previously on, there is a scene that we never actually see in any episode.
What?
Yeah. So if you didn't know this.
I didn't.
In the recap, you know, it tells you what happened in 405, all this good stuff. You hear about the library, you hear about Alice finding the world book and leaving. We see a scene that we never see in Escape from the Happy Place, which is Alice and Quentin having a conversation in Marina's apartment, Katie's now. And Alice says, "So you're Team Monster now?" And Elliot says, "I'm Team Elliot." That scene is not in the episode. It is only in this previously on.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Why do you think they cut that out?
I don't know, but it makes me mad
because
I want to see it. I want to know the context.
You want to know what Team Elliot means?
Well, I know what Team Elliot means. And
then you just need to know that
but
he's
I wanna
Team Elliot.
But I want to see what led to that part of the bit.
You're getting plenty of Quelliot.
I would like more, please.
Well, you're thirsty for Quelliot. All right, let's talk about this episode.
Okay, so the beginning of this episode, we see Penny 23 and Marina. They're in cages.
Yes,
they've been captured
by
Stoppard, who is a character in The Magician King.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Who was he?
The kid that's on the heist with them, who is also.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it's
Time magic expert.
Uh-huh.
And here he is fiddling with a device that he made because.
But we've seen this device before, right?
No.
No? I thought we saw this.
You've seen this episode before.
But no, I could have sworn we've seen this
type of device before. We've not seen this device before.
No?
No.
All right.
But he has been trying to fix his device because Penny 23 and Marina have been fucking up the timelines because of their presence in Timeline 40.
They've thrown off the vibrations.
Exactly.
Which is actually a very Flash comic book kind of thing. Because in the Flash comic book, I'm not going to say they're the first science fiction to come up with this idea of vibrations representing other multiple dimensions. But it plays a big part in the Flash comic book. So I don't know if there's any allusion to that. I didn't catch any Flash references, but I thought it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. But
do you believe in multiple realities?
I think so.
Yeah.
Think it would be cool.
What do you think? Do you think the closer the reality is to our own, the more similar it is? Or do you feel that it's just random numbers all along? Like if we're, let's say we're in number 57.
I mean, I'm not
57.
Stephen Hawking, so I don't know.
Well, let's
but
say
I do
we're
know that he did try to comfort teenage girls when One Direction broke up by saying, in another universe, they're still together. Which is very funny to me.
That's very funny.
I don't know. I'd like to think there's some kind of multiverse and stuff.
But I'm saying, like, maybe there's, like, in 57, right? Say we're in 57.
Yeah.
I mean, that's presumptuous to think the numbers are that low. But let's say what's in 56 and what's in 58? Like, how off is 56 and 58, are they minimal amounts of change? Like, for example, rather than having your hair short, your hair is long?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it big changes, like, you know, we live in a different state, or you aren't artistic, you are more mathematical, or, you know, our world is less polluted or more polluted, or... I don't want to be a cube. That's a pretty cube, severe...
Bizarro world.
Yeah, we're not on Bizarro world.
We could be.
We could be. I think we've already been through Bizarro world at least the past year.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't ponder multiple realities?
No, not...
You need to watch more science fiction shows because, like, you need to watch Red Dwarf.
I watched all of Red Dwarf with you.
Every single episode?
Yes, we watched. You even saw
the
one
where the guy rode the alligator?
Yes. Oh, my God. All right. We literally watched all of them.
Then you need to watch, what's the one with Scott Bakula?
I don't know.
That's the, not the Sliders.
Time.
No, the one where he jumps into people's bodies.
Oh, Body Snatchers.
No, no, that's, I forget the name of it. Mom is screaming at the podcast.
Sorry, Mom.
Right now.
I don't know.
Quantum Leap. That's the
name
of
it. Yeah. I knew there was jumping involved.
Yes. Anyway, you should watch more of those type of shows.
Uh-huh.
Because then you will be able to expand your repertoire of alternate reality conversation.
Yeah.
Because you might end up in a conversation one day with somebody very interesting, and you have to, you know, your knowledge of quantum reality might impress them.
Yeah.
And you might get that job you're after.
But I have a job, so it's fine right now.
All right, for now.
But you know who doesn't have a job? Penny 23. His job instead is to escape his cage,
interdimensional slacker.
Stoppard travels everyone back to timeline 23, but since there's no magic there, his machine doesn't work anymore, and so Penny 23 travels outside of the cage and punches him.
Yes, that was great.
Yes. So then Marina takes the...
You missed the Magic the Gathering reference.
Oh, yes, the fact that Penny 23 got sold for, like, a certain amount of black cards.
No, a Black Lotus card, which is the rarest card in Magic. Black Lotus Alpha,
uh-huh,
which is the rarest card in Magic the Gathering, because not only were a low amount of them printed, but the card was so severely broken that it was the first card that they banned from the game.
Uh-huh.
See, again, nerd knowledge could help you. You could be at a cocktail party.
Talking about Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, talking about Magic the Gathering. And like somebody might say, wow, I really like Magic the Gathering. And you might say, oh, do you own a Black Lotus? And they'd be like, mind blown that you knew about a Black Lotus. Alpha.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's useful ability as your father.
You know,
here's some fatherly advice.
I'll stick here with my obscure Lord of the Rings.
Here's some fatherly advice, and that is, it is good to know a little bit about everything.
Yeah.
So
you
can
at
least
Jack of all trades,
fake your way through conversations.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
No, you should still master stuff. I don't agree with.
Oh.
Right? You should be a jack of all trades, but you should be a master of some.
Uh-huh.
That's my saying.
That's a pretty good... Well, I mean, if you were average at everything, then you could be... You could, like, basically do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Versatility is a very important skill.
Especially if you were, like, average at a language, then, like, you could go anywhere.
Right.
You know? But,
I'm average at a language.
You're average at a language.
English.
Yeah. they travel again to another timeline. There's no magic there. It's been outlawed. Under federal law.
Military guys, because, you know, everybody is just going to be, like, firing off magic, and then, oh, we better turn our machine guns on them, right?
Yeah.
It's dumb. Well, what's even dumber is that Marina and Penny have a conversation about magic right in the middle of the barbed-wired machine gun-guarded area. If you saw a big sign that says magic is... This is like going to the airport and you see a sign that says...
No, it's like going to the airport and saying hi to my brother.
No, it's like going to...
Saying hi, Jack.
No, yeah, okay.
Ba-dum-ching.
But no, or it's like going to the airport and saying, hey, let's talk about bombs for the next 10 minutes, right? It's a bad idea. And Penny and Marina aren't the dummies. We all know who the dummies are in this situation, right?
Who?
The writers.
Yeah.
Or the director. No, I would have at least had them go down an aisle. Yes, true. I didn't bother to find out their name. But I would have had them at least go down an alley so they could discuss their magic
talk. Maybe they didn't have access to an alley.
Oh, they're in the middle of a set of a city. If you have two buildings, you have an alley.
Not in a city, like in a suburb.
If you have two buildings, you have an alley. So you,
they have one building and a barbed wire
You
fence.
Should know that there's always an alley you can go down. You can duck down. There's always an alley to duck down.
Yeah. Well, then we see Q and Julia, and Q is trying to argue for helping the monster build their body, because obviously he wants to save Elliot. And Julia says, you know, like, why are you so hung up on this? You know, if we help build the monster the body, you know, we don't even know what could happen. And Quentin just says, it's Elliot. That's all the explanation anyone should need, because it's Elliot.
Team Elliot.
Well, he didn't, though. He said it in the last episode, but they cut the scene and put it in the previously on.
That's true. But he did mention another team in this conversation.
The X-Men.
Yes, he made a second nerd reference of the episode. This is a very nerd-thick episode.
Uh-huh.
And he even mentioned Emma Frost in her diamond form,
yep,
which means that Quentin Coldwater has at least read the early 2000s version of the X-Men written by Grant Morrison,
uh-huh,
in which he introduced Emma Frost's diamond power.
Uh-huh.
See, again, if I were in a cocktail party... And
you
some
break out the X-Men info.
I could bust out the X-Men info and impress people.
Yeah.
And then I would get that. They would give me $100.
$100? Just $100?
For just being smart, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Maybe $1,000, depending on the party it's at.
Yeah, depending on the party. If Kevin Feige was there, he'd give you $1,000.
Maybe. Well, if Kevin Feige was there, I would try to convince him to make Alpha Flight.
You'd bring out the big guns?
Here's my one chance to convince him into doing Alpha Flight.
The Canadian Avengers.
The Canadian Avengers, the most perfectly created in terms of visual and power set superhero team ever created, mm-hmm, in my opinion. I think that the balance of characters in Alpha Flight and personalities is the best ever created for a team-based comic book.
I would say, please, sir, make an animated Power Pack TV show.
Oh, that would be good, too.
That would be very good. Yeah. Shout out to the Power Pack, the least known of the Marvel superheroes.
Now, wait a second. No, that's not the least known.
They've teamed up with Wolverine and Spider-Man.
I was going to say,
no one ever remembers them.
Not the least remembered. I would have to say Sleepwalker or maybe... Speedball, or I'm trying to think of characters that have had their own books.
Well, clearly, if you can't remember Nighthawk, then you're doing the right thing.
Nighthawk is one.
Uh-huh.
U.S. It's a bunch of truckers. That's like it's a band of truckers that just drive across the USA fighting crime, fighting bad guys.
Hey, you know,
it's not Team USA, but it's something like that. I forget what USA One maybe.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Well, or what about? Oh no, what about Super? Was it Super Pro?
I don't know.
Super Pro is like a team of football players, superhero football players.
Uh-huh.
That's the worst.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion.
Well, we're not. This isn't a Super Pro podcast.
Oh my god! If only.
No.
Maybe we should have a. I know. I have a great idea for a podcast.
Oh god!
How about we have a podcast where you and I each read a comic book and then we talk about
it. You mean the podcast we originally tried to start, and then you were like, "Never mind, I don't want to read the stuff you're giving me, Evelyn."
Well, we ended up
because that's what happened.
Well, no, what happened?
Because I gave you the first issue of Inuyasha, and I was like, "Read this." And
first
and then
of all, you wanted
then...
me to read a 16-part.
It's not 16
manga.
Part. It was
that
one,
was huge.
Compared
to my
volume.
Measly 22-page comic book. All right, here's the other problem. The other problem was you wanted to do two comic books in one episode, which was too many.
Yeah, one for me and one for you.
No, it shouldn't have been that. It just should have been we alternate.
Uh-huh.
So if we ever do that again, which I still think the concept is sound, and we add the best title for it. What was the name of it?
I don't remember.
You don't remember the name?
I don't remember the name.
The name of the podcast was called Dad's Got Issues,
uh-huh,
which I think was great.
Uh-huh.
So if you guys want to hear, maybe after the Magicians, let us know. Write us an email.
Yeah,
or tweet us.
FillerianFather@gmail.com.
Yeah, or Instagram us.
We don't have an Instagram.
No? Well, they could still just Instagram us.
We don't have an Instagram.
Oh, okay. Well, reach out to us. If you would like to hear Evelyn and I talk about comic books, but only one comic at a time, then let us know.
Yeah.
I still think it's got value.
Uh-huh.
I do. Maybe we could actually get sponsors this time.
No.
Why are you so against capitalism? What is your problem? What money?
I don't like
hey, remember what? Who was it that said it this episode? There's nothing wrong with money. It's what you do with it.
Uh-huh.
Right? Who said that?
Sheila
said that, and Sheila was right.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila is right.
Well, we'll get into that, but you know what we're going to get into right now?
What are we going to get into?
The fact that the monster has two stone thingies, two god beans with hieroglyphics on it.
Right. How many beans does he need?
So many beans.
But, I mean, what is he making?
Obviously, he's making some...
Chili?
Some chili, yeah.
Or is he making a bean bag?
He's making a happy sack. No, I mean, like, really,
here's the thing, right? They're
Do
like...
Do you not remember?
Here's this blueprint.
Do you not remember?
I barely remember.
It's the monster's sister.
No, I know that. I remember that.
The beans are the separate parts of her body that's been split up.
But how many beans does she need?
I think it's like 5 or something.
So wait a second. So this is like why...
Our rating system, if you do 5 out of 5, it creates the sister.
You always wanted a sister.
Uh-huh.
I mean, okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, you always need 6 beings to make a human being. Right, that's why in Pantone, my game, there's only 4.
Head, 1 arm, 2 arm, 1 leg, 1 leg. Done.
What about torso?
You don't need a torso.
Sure you do. Everything Where are you going to keep your junk?
Everything else just like is amalgamated.
Where does your stomach going to go? How are you going to eat?
The monster doesn't need to eat.
Sure he does. He was eating this episode.
He just gets bored.
He wanted a churro.
Well, he was inhabiting a human body.
But he wanted a churro.
He was inhabiting a human body.
And he wanted tequila. Tequila
he
and churros.
He also almost got hit by a bus.
That's true. He did almost get hit by a bus.
But you know who else didn't get hit by a bus?
Elliot.
Elliot, because he's technically inside the brain zone. No, but they find on the hieroglyphics that there is a yellow fruit, and they do some light
How do they know
Googling.
It was a fruit?
No, they it looks like a fruit.
What
so
if it
like,
was like an eyeball
out.
With, you know, or
it
what if
it was an eyeball. It looked like a lemon.
It did look like a lemon.
But you know,
but there's no lemons in Egypt.
You know who's a bit of a tart? Alice. And we see her in Modesto.
Wow.
You don't like that one?
I thought that was a wonderful transition.
Oh, thank you. We see Alice. She's gone to Modesto. And she is now renting a place.
Wait a second. Can we talk about the bullshit archaeology?
No, it's
just
not
for
that.
Your mother. For your mother's
sake.
Yeah,
they find an article that says that
everything
they found
know.
A new tomb in Egypt has like redefined archaeology. I took introduction to archaeology. No, it would be it would be looted.
No, no,
at
here.
This point,
no.
Most Egyptian tombs
no.
were looted after they were built.
No, no, even worse. No, no, no.
And it would
all right,
be
I've
the
taken,
Valley of Kings, and that shit has been excavated to all hell
sure,
since
the
1920s.
Sure, but let's talk about something even more
the
stupid.
The fact that they used a picture of King Tutankhamun for
no,
a little ad on
no,
the top?
No, that's not what I was talking about.
What?
I've taken no archaeology classes. I've just learned from osmosis for the past 20-some-odd years of being married to an archaeologist. And here's the thing. They can't say everything we know about the Egyptian language was wrong because they found one thing. It's not like, oh, here's the English language, but no, we found this one thing, and so that invalidates the entire English language?
Mm-hmm.
That's bullshit.
What if it was like you were reading it and this whole time you were pronouncing CH differently? Instead of realizing that the CH could be pronounced a ch and a ch sound, you thought it was only one, so you've been pronouncing things wrong.
Well,
so
there
then
are
you find out
that
there are two different versions of the word of the letter CH, and that's what like redefines your understanding of the language.
No,
and that could be a thing.
I don't think so, because CH is only in only for words with CH in it. It's
know,
not like,
like
all
you
of a
see
sudden
it, you see it appear and then you're like, oh, but you think it's pronounced one way, but that the pronunciation changes the meaning of the word.
But what the dummy writers are insinuating with this one article on this one archaeology website is that the entire everything Egypt we knew about Egyptology and the hieroglyphic language has changed. Which that is just dumb because we've been able to translate things using that. So that means what? That everything that we've translated is mistranslated?
I guess so.
No, but it's not because we found like truth to the things that have been translated, right?
Uh-huh.
So then if it's not truthful, it's this fucking show.
You just gave up.
I just gave up. My brain just said, it's not worth it. All right. So let's go to another horrible place, and that is Modesto.
Modesto. And apparently there's...
Home of...
George Lucas.
Well, ex-home of George. I don't think he lives there anymore. Do you think George Lucas still has a house in Modesto?
I sincerely doubt it.
Do you think he kept his parents' house?
I don't know.
I know he has a ranch. It's Skywalker Ranch up in... Do you know where it is?
Somewhere in California.
But do you know where it is?
Somewhere.
It's north of San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So.
A little bit of ways from Modesto.
Well, not too far. You know where Modesto is?
It's by San Jose.
Yeah. It's east of San Jose.
Yeah, that's
so
by
it's
San
actually
Jose.
Not that far from
our extended family.
From San Francisco.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But there's nothing to do in Modesto.
No, that is true. Well, no, that's not true. You could race hot cars. Uh-huh. Because that's what inspired George Lucas to make American Graffiti.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's it.
There's something that's Alice could have got into hot rods.
Hot rods.
And then she
Alice
become like
become a car girl.
A hot rod mama. Right? Can you imagine that spinoff?
Uh-huh.
Of Alice the magic using hot rod mama? So it'd be like Bewitched. Uh-huh. But meets
Speed Racer,
sure.
She decks him out with like magical
stuff. No, she's the driver.
Yeah, but
and
she,
so
like,
she uses
she, like,
the magic to
the
get out of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But
so
she wouldn't use magic because she doesn't
want
to use it.
Only infrequently.
Yeah.
She'd be like, I'm not going to use magic.
Specific
I'm not going to use magic. And then she's racing against like, you know, Tiger King or something, and then Tiger King uses that thing that the spikes come out of his tire to like chop up the
Why
tire.
Why is Tiger King here?
I don't know. I'm just picking a name. There's a guy that's a tiger in Speed Racer. I forget what his name is.
Uh-huh.
And then she might use her magic power to like, and she'll wiggle. She has to wiggle her nose like Bewitched, so that way she doesn't take her hands off the wheel.
Uh-huh.
And then that will cause the spike to instead turn into a daffodil, and then that's it. It won't hurt her.
That's it.
That's it. That was the whole show.
Wow.
That's a better written script than
The
Magicians. All right.
But there's nothing to do in Modesto, so then we go to Fillory.
Yes, exactly. Even the show knows how boring Modesto is.
And we see Tick, Josh, Fenn, and Margot
having a confab.
Confab?
That's a meeting.
Yeah.
It's another word for meeting.
Well, apparently...
Confabulation. Don't you know that word?
Yeah. Apparently
short.
There is
confab is short for confabulation.
Flower native to Loria that has been growing
and it's
in
clogging
Fillory.
Up the sinuses of all the
yes,
talking
it has.
Animals.
So it's making
which
all
is stupid.
The talking animals not be able to talk. But apparently the juice from the beets of this one specific island populated
God.
By mostly alpacas is the way to cure this this mutism of animals.
All right, here's a thing, right? In like I get that there's like some cultures that don't have like in the Middle East, I'm sorry, in the
what
East,
are you,
in the
what
East,
what do you say?
In China and Japan and Korea and that area, they don't have wheat because the area is not conducive to growing wheat, right?
Uh-huh.
And so therefore, their culture has grown up without bread. They're a rice-centric
uh-huh.
culture, not a bread-centric culture, right?
Uh-huh.
But that there are still lots of areas in the world that have bread, right? There's you know bread in
uh-huh.
in South America, right? But they just make it with corn instead of wheat. And then all the other places in the world that use wheat, you know, Egypt and the Middle East and America
uh-huh.
and Europe and all that, right?
Uh-huh.
I find it highly unlikely that these magic beets only grow in one place in this country. This
well,
show,
I mean,
isn't
there
another
are,
country
mean,
that has beets?
I mean, to be fair, though, there is a type of fish that is literally indigenous only to the specific conditions of one underground cave.
Right.
So those things do exist.
And what's the name of that fish?
I don't remember the name, but I do know
it's
that
humma,
it
humma,
pisses
humma,
off oil
humma,
people
humma,
because
humma.
They can't dig there because they're protected species.
What's the Hawaiian fish called?
I don't know.
Humma, humma. You used to know.
No,
yeah,
I don't.
When you were a kid, you knew.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm no longer a kid. I'm 20, so.
Yeah, I know. You've killed your brain with alcohol.
Okay. but apparently Lady Pike, who is the, like, queen of the island, is a bitch, and so she probably will not budge, and she's also already kind of promised the beets to another buyer. So then we see Alice at the store. She's buying just a bunch of chips, and she's getting some pamphlets and stuff to do in Modesto, and the cashier is a hedge witch. So she tries to make a little bit of small talk, and she's like, wow, you know, kind of it's hard to get by with these shortages, right? And he's like, not if you're, you know, maybe if you're classically trained, but us, we're used to scraping on by. Like, okay, but like, maybe...
How about being a little friendly,
yeah,
dude?
Like, dude... You're probably the only magician in Modesto.
No, there were two. Actually, that's not true. There are five. Six.
Five. No, but the other ones were librarians.
Two were librarians. Two were hedge witches. And one was classically trained. And one was a what's the opposite of a muggle? A scupper?
What?
I'm making a new word up.
Scupper is
a
the
squib?
Name. Scuppers is the name of the fake... of the fake fantasy sport in Misfits and Magic, the Dimension 20.
What is it if you have magic but you don't know how to really use it?
You're a novice.
Okay.
A novice magician.
All right.
A beginner.
Then we don't need to make up any words.
Yeah. But then we see Marina. This is when they're talking about magic out loud. Marina and Penny 23. And Marina says, you know, I have to get back to my timeline. My girlfriend's waiting for me. And Penny 23 says, wait, what? You have a girlfriend? She's like, yeah, it was my girlfriend from the other timeline. But she, you know, we kind of fell off. So she decided to get back with her in this timeline because now she knows everything she likes and doesn't like. And Penny 23 immediately is like, that's so fucked up that you would do that, you know?
No, it's not.
No, that's what he says. He says...
But I'm saying that's not.
No.
I disagree with Penny.
No, I disagree. No, let me say, because Penny 23 is a fucking hypocrite because he does the exact same thing with Julia.
Okay, but here's the thing.
He does the exact same thing. He gets on Marina's case about her dating the same girl that she dated in another timeline.
Penny 23 does the exact same thing. I think it's a valid strategy.
No!
That's the Groundhog's Day strategy.
It's different people.
No, it's not. It's Groundhog's Day.
It's different people.
Groundhog's Day is built on the premise that you're getting to know somebody by making mistakes and in correcting those mistakes and course correcting until finally you get it right.
But it's not the same.
And then, as a result, you become a better person.
It's not the same universe. Marina doesn't become a better person.
But what I'm saying
is
Marina's strategy is valid.
Okay.
Because if you want to have a relationship with somebody you know you love and you know that you had a relationship with, but you screwed it up, and if you have a second chance, I think that Marina's strategy is valid.
But it's not fair because you're approaching
Why is it not fair?
You're approaching this person who
All's
doesn't...
fair in love and
no,
war.
No, it's not fair because you're approaching this person who doesn't have the same, like, history of that relationship with
you. All right, how about this? What if you had a friend... What if there's somebody that you had attraction from afar,
uh-huh,
right? And you knew a friend of theirs... And that friend said, oh, by the way, this person I'm friends with likes this, this, and this.
Uh-huh.
Are you saying that that's not right to use that knowledge to help you get the affection of that person that you're interested in?
No, that's fine.
That's the exact same thing.
It's not, though.
It
is,
though.
That's a scenario that could actually happen.
Yeah, but this is what's not. I mean, who? First of all, how do we know that this other interdimensional? We've already talked about interdimensional stuff this episode, right? It could happen.
I'm just saying that.
How do you know we're not already in another dimension already?
Penny 23 rags on Marina for doing this and then does the exact same thing.
All right, remember when the collider,
very hypocritical of him.
The Hadrian collider went off years ago? Right? Like they were going to run that collider and everybody was real worried about it, like tearing a hole in reality or something?
Uh-huh.
What if, like, when that got activated, we just, like, went into this divergent multiverse?
It wouldn't be the same person.
But we don't know. How would we know?
It's only up to a certain
point. We only know one reality. We don't know the other realities.
Yeah, but she knows both. And so
I postulate that we are now in a different reality than a different one.
God.
Right? That we are experiencing a divergent timeline based on that one moment. But because we experience time linearly, we don't realize that we're in a different timeline.
Uh-huh.
And we could, I mean, right now, boom, we could have just gone into another timeline and not known it because we're experiencing time linearly.
Uh-huh.
Right?
It's not the same.
Science.
It's not. No. But they go. They decide to go ask Stoppard for help. Stop. They waited too long. But they decided to go ask Stoppard for help. And then we see Alice. And she's Googling things to do in Modesto. And she finds an article. And we see a reverend talking about how they're going to somehow find the money for Kirsten Brahm's leukemia treatment. We'll find a way.
I don't understand this scene.
So it sets it up for later. So
no, I don't understand the next scene.
Alice talks to Sheila.
Right.
And Sheila's like, Alice is like, oh, do you know the reverend? And she's like, oh, you know, he's my reverend at my church because, you know, my mom went there. And I just feel like, you know, I owe it to her to go. And, you know, she passed when I was on probation. So I just feel like, you know, I owe it to her. And then we see a scene of Sheila smoking outside, and she sneaks out and Alice follows her, and she does this thing with her hands where she's kind of like being a dowsing rod basically. Mm-hmm. And she finds a chest full of money that she digs up.
But
and
who left that chest full of money?
So we don't know, but the thing is that her like magic is like not like luck based, but you know, it's kind of similar.
But like that, like, A, how does she not know that was there earlier?
Well,
and
she's
B,
like,
I mean, if
searching
she's,
with intent.
Wouldn't she keep a few bucks?
No, because she's giving it to the girl with fucking cancer.
Hey, A, finders keepers, losers weepers.
Oh my god.
Secondly,
you are heartless. You had cancer. You wouldn't give money for someone else's cancer
I would
treason?
Give a portion of the money to the people to help.
Oh my god.
I mean, how much could a kidney or whatever cost?
Oh my god.
What do you mean? Like, you could just get
chemo
one.
Chemo is so fucking expensive.
I know it is, but
then
you know.
Wouldn't you want to help pay for that?
Well, I'd pay for some of it.
Oh my god.
And then have other people chip in.
Oh, my God.
And then that way they could have, like, a better place, better house or something.
But Alice confronts Sheila the next day and says, hey, I don't want to mince words. I just want to let you know I saw you find that money.
You have magic.
You know, you have magic, and maybe you didn't realize it before, but maybe this is why I'm here. I'm here to help you. And Sheila's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She spills a cup of coffee, and then Alice magics it back into the mug.
Yeah, you know what's really weird about that?
What?
Is that Sheila is eating a donut on a plate.
So?
Who eats a donut on a plate?
Many people.
No, you eat it just with your hand.
But what if you want to set it down?
Well, I've never seen you use a plate with a donut.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe you should start using a plate when you eat donuts.
Okay. But Sheila tells Alice that she just started being able to channel magic a few months ago, and that this is like the best thing that has ever happened to her. And Alice says, you know, hey, you're a choromancer. This is like the rarest type of magic user.
What, somebody who can find money?
Someone who can like, is like a dowsing rod basically for
that's
magic.
That's the rarest?
And
you think
energy.
That's like, you think that'd be like the first spell you'd learn?
I guess.
That's like in Dungeons and Dragons, discover magic is like a first level spell.
Well, not here.
It might even
not
be a cantrip in like
universe.
Volume 5 or
not
whatever.
In the Magician's
Edition
universe.
5. If you know what level spell nowadays find magic is, or you know, detect magic, write us. Let us know.
But Alice says, hey, maybe this is why I'm here. Maybe I'm here to teach you magic. And
maybe.
Right as she says that, some librarians come up and they give Sheila a pamphlet saying, hey, make a library card.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Learn
Alice,
more magic.
If you are hiding from the librarians, next time, try not being so freaking obvious and like staring out the window in the house that's right next to where the librarians are at, where they can just turn their head to the left and see you.
Uh-huh.
Right? This whole episode has staging problems.
Uh-huh.
Right? A, we have Allie. Right? How come they're not talking in an alley about magic when there's guys with machine guns right next to them?
Yeah.
B, why isn't Alice being more stealthy when it comes to looking at a window?
Uh-huh. Well, I think the answer is framing.
If we only knew who the director was.
If only we knew who was the director.
Then we could blame them.
But, you know, Sheila says, I don't want to join up with the library. I literally barely know any of this stuff anyway. Like, why would I just go and sign away something? But you should teach me.
You know what?
Teach me magic. And Alice says, you know, knowing isn't better. And Sheila's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
Alice is like, magic has ruined my life. Yeah. Every time I try to use magic to solve a problem, it gets worse.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just Alice, though.
Yeah.
Maybe the problem is the common denominator in that sentence is Alice.
Yeah. And the thing is, Sheila's like, hey, you know, we're both grown women. We make choices.
Yep.
Like, if you regret it, then you know how you feel. You know, it's what you make of it.
Exactly. And that's where she says the very smart quote that I...
No, the money thing, that's later.
Oh, is that later?
It's later. All right,
well, I'm pretending like it's happening
now.
Well,
she says, hey, you know, this is, and Alice says, okay, fine, I'll teach you magic.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? This is, again, not in the book.
I mean, magic is what you make of it is a sentimentality.
Sure.
Of the book.
Is Sheila in the book?
No.
Is there anyone named Sheila in the book?
No.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But you know who is in the book?
Margot.
No.
How about
Whitespire, the place, the book, right. The place.
I was gonna say Pike.
No.
Fen, barely
dies.
Not the right Fen. Beats.
The right Fen.
Are there beats in the book? No.
No. There's no beats.
Is there a civil war?
Yeah, I'd say in the end of Magician King.
Oh well, okay, yeah, but that's just like
Magician's
that's
Land.
That's just Ragnarok.
End of Magician's
that's
Land.
That's not. I mean, it's a civil war, sure, but it's just kind of the end of everything.
Yeah,
right.
But the animals versus the talking animals happens.
Right, which that was the most surprising civil thing war. For me. I mean, I've talked about
what
this.
What about the centaurs?
Well, no, I just found it very like kind of sad and shocking. That, like, the talking animals would be like, fuck you, animals! and they would just kill each other, right? Like,
uh-huh.
If you're a dog and then you have a talking dog, don't you think the dog
you're
and
like,
the talking
bitch
dog...
this thinks he's better than me?
Well, wait. So, wait. Which dog is saying that?
Obviously, the talking one.
But
and maybe this the non-talking one is thinking it.
But empirically, then the talking dog... I mean, if you're gonna, like, say talking is better... Then there would be the talking dog that says, does this bitch think I'm better than you? But then obviously it's not because it can't talk. So therefore the non-talking dog, like I feel sad because the non-talking animals are like the dumb animals. And I use that in the, you know, the old fashioned term, right?
Uh-huh.
Like they're the dumb animals. And so it feels like for the talking animals to be mad at the non-talking animals, it feels wrong. It feels like
well, that was the point.
Petty.
That was the point.
That was the point of the end
of that
book.
Is that
Fillory is petty?
Well, I'd say Fillory is petty.
Is it
as
why?
A place?
What do you mean?
I mean, especially the show version of Fillory.
Well, they're making you go on fucking quests every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Of course, that's petty.
Well, speaking of quests, Margot is questing for those beats.
Yeah.
Fen and
I think
Pike
you should do
there.
That in your next Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
Beats.
Yeah, just like that's the prize. No, that you like send them on some adventure.
It's Beyonce going, bring the beat in. Anything for you, Beyonce.
What? Beyonce?
I'm sorry, this is a reference.
What does Beyonce
that you
have
will
to
not
do?
Understand at all.
I mean, I know who Beyonce is, but
it's
why?
Okay. You don't need to understand my references. They're bad.
All right, yeah, so that I agree with.
Oh, thanks.
But anyway, I mean, you could have an adventure where a bunch of stalwart. Dungeon
Farmers.
Delvers. No, Dungeon Delvers are going
on a beat quest.
On an adventure, and then they end up, and it's like seeds. Like, maybe they're robbing the seed bank.
Uh-huh.
That'd be cool, right? Like, how come there's not a heist movie where they have to go steal seeds from the Norwegian seed bank, right? Because it's like a bank, and
uh-huh.
it's a bank heist,
uh-huh.
but it's just, instead of money, it's beads.
You should read the company series.
Why is that in the company series?
Not seeds, but there is a type of seed that they have to heist for.
Chocolate?
No.
Oh, see, cocoa beans.
Uh-huh, but not that.
What about cinnabar?
It's not, that's not here yet.
Oh, what do you
we're
mean?
Not here yet.
We're not at cinnabar
instead,
yet?
We're still at the beets, and turns out Pike has already sold her beats to West Loria, because Idri and his sister Rue got into a civil war, and Fillory backed Idri, and he lost. So now Rue.
Oh, Idri. He seemed like such a good fighter,
West
too.
West Loria, I know.
Speaking of which, I like there's a quote Margot says where she says, I don't know how to intentionally care about people.
I wrote that down, too.
Yes, it was a good quote.
Well, before this quote happens, you know, Margot suggests that they firebomb West Loria in
yes.
order to get what they want. And Josh is like, you know, we need to diplomize. We need to be diplomatic about this. And, you know, what would Elliot do? And Margo's like, well, Elliot isn't here.
Right.
You know,
Margo has a good point.
Yeah. And diplomacy was Elliot's thing. And this is her thing.
Her thing is blown shit.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, I don't know how to intentionally care about other people's shit. And Josh says, luckily, that's all I do.
Aw.
Mm.
So wait, no, wait. Mm-hmm. You make that noise. Don't you like Josh in this episode?
I do like Josh in this episode.
See, because you're always bad-mouthing Josh.
I'm not always bad-mouthing. And I feel like you're
not
Josh.
Giving him a fair shake.
The end of season four, I do like him.
Okay.
To a degree. And I do like him in an episode of season five. But that's because I really like Trevor Einhorn. I think he's a great actor. And right. He was really good in The Great Filter.
That's what I was just about to ask you.
Oh, well, here's the ad. The Great Filter ended. Yep. You know what you can support? Covenant House. Anytime. Anytime you can donate to Covenant House. The charity event, Philanthropy Bitches, we raised a total of 7,400 and something amount of money.
That's impressive.
Which bumped the Team Magic campaign over $30,000.
Wow.
And we bumped Jason's specific drive into $20,000.
Nice.
Which is pretty dang cool. I could use
$20,000.
You know, they're still doing charity cameos, I think. So if you want to get one from Summer Bishill, from Olivia Taylor Dudley, from Trevor Einhorn, or Jason Ralph, you could do that. They are very expensive, but, you know, it's for a good cause.
What's really expensive?
$200, dude.
It's a fair amount.
That's pretty expensive. Yeah. But, you know, it's for a good cause. And, yeah, that's our little ad.
Well, that's your ad.
I might have
an ad of my own up my sleeve.
Uh-huh. But you know who has tricks up their sleeve? Marina and Penny 23. They go to Stoppard's house where they see his mom. She lets him in, and they talk to Stoppard. His name is Daniel. And, they are inspecting the same machine that brought them there. It's a different version. And, it's the machine they've brought it to him to look at.
Right.
And,
he's like, I have the same machine. Yeah, and while they're
looking at it.
Just like this.
And while they're looking at it, his mom passes out.
Yes.
And so they take some of their journals and, Penny 23 travels them out of there.
Well, she's got interdimensional disassociation.
Well, you know, they go
it's
back
like
to...
It's like Slaughterhouse 5.
Well, they go to the physical kid's cottage, and Marina reads the pamphlet, and it turns out that Stoppard's mom is Sonia Kukino, who is, like, the leading innovator in, like, horomancy and stuff.
Time magic.
And apparently she has been working with Time Magic and Cinnabar for, like, decades now.
Cinnabar is what?
Cinnabar is a substance that exists.
Spice, maybe?
Spice, probably.
So is this maybe a Dune reference?
Maybe.
That you need the spice to do temporal displacement? Because that's like Melange
but
does.
But Cinnabar...
See, now, if you had known your Dune...
I don't want to read Dune.
How about you watch it?
I'm going to watch the movie.
Are you
going to
watch the old movie or the new movie?
I want to see the new one.
How about you watch the old one first?
I want to see Oscar Isaac.
So then you can understand what's going on.
I don't need to understand. Yeah. I know that there's worms and there's spice and there's interdimensional politics. That's all I need to know, bro.
That's not all you need to know. Do you know what a now I can't even pronounce it. Hadarach Kochwak? No, it's
you
I forget.
Don't try and
it's
do
the
this.
It's the witch thing.
Uh-huh.
The witch magic in the you should read the book. Book is good. Don't be ignorant.
I am currently reading Cemetery Boys.
Sir, okay, when once you're done reading
I
that,
have,
why
like,
don't you
four
read
other
Dune?
Books to read.
Oh, my God. You read, like, books, like, super fast. You have a stack of books that you burn through in literally, like, a day.
Those are library books.
Yeah. Why? Are library books read faster than
regular
books?
Yeah, because
they
have a deadline.
Well, if you gave yourself a deadline, then you would just read it.
Maybe.
You should read Dune. Dune is a good book.
But I know the person who set the deadline.
Don't be obstinate just for the sake of being obstinate.
I just
obstinate.
Don't want to read Dune.
You're being
Let
obstinate
me live,
for
bro.
The sake. Read the first chapter.
I don't want to read
And if you
Dune.
Don't like it, then you can put it down and that's the end of
okay.
it.
Okay.
Don't. Why live in ignorance for obstinance's sake?
Oh, my God.
Right?
I just don't want to read Dune. Sorry.
You're being contrary just to be contrary.
I'm not. I just don't want to read Dune. Let me.
Why? Why do you not want to read it?
I'm not interested in it.
How do you know? You like science fiction.
I just don't want to read about people interested in seeing the movie. Walking around in the
it's
desert.
It's a metaphor I'd rather for see the movie. American and English politics in the Middle East. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
The characters are all well defined. There's some cool magic in it. There's sci-fi
stuff.
Right
now, I just do not want to read a brick. I just don't want
to. You who like wants to read the Silmarillion every year.
That's not a brick.
That is a brick.
That's not.
That was always. It's only 800 pages. That's the definition of a brick.
It's only 800 pages.
It is a brick book.
It's not. It's a tiny
paperback.
And
the Silmarillion is like snoozy.
Excuse you. One of my favorite stories is in the Silmarillion.
Yeah. It's like, what, 4 pages long?
No, it's pretty long. There's a novelization of it, too.
Yes.
It's okay. Narni Chin Hurin.
Well, I'll wait till the TV show of the Silmarillion.
It's not, that's not, the story is not in there. They're doing Second Age, which is like barely anything happens.
They're just making up their own crap.
They're adding stuff. Yeah.
Do you think it's going to have like tons of sex and violence like Game of
Thrones? No, but I think there might be nudity in it. Mm. I don't know how I feel about that.
Why not?
I don't know. It'll be weird.
You got something against a nude dwarf?
No, I do not have anything against a nude dwarf.
What about a nude hobbit?
No, it's just like...
Well, you read Board of the Rings, right?
I did
that
read...
That has nudity in it.
Yes, I did.
And was it funny?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
See, I told you. I told you it was funny.
But you know what else is funny?
You can say, Dad, you were right.
The fact that Sonya's use of cinnabar is making her brain neurodegenerate into the point where she's going to have clockwork Alzheimer's.
Yeah, she's got Slaughterhouse-Five syndrome. Yeah. What they should have said.
But
do you know what Slaughterhouse-Five is?
But.
Have you ever read it?
But.
Kurt Vonnegut?
But.
Do you just not like books?
Oh, my God.
You should read the classics of science fiction
and
fantasy.
Apparently.
Everybody on... This is a message for everybody on the listening to the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Read more books. Read classic sci-fi.
I read lots of books,
they're
dude.
Good for a reason.
I read lots of books, dude. I just don't want to read much sci-fi. I like fantasy
Sci-fi
more.
Is good.
I like fantasy
Fantasy
more.
Is just sci-fi with elves.
Yeah. I like the elves.
Well, then you could like Eldar.
No,
that's sci-fi.
Dude, just let me...
Warhammer.
Let me pick my own reading material. Thank you very much. But apparently Stoppard wants
dare
to...
You, how dare you turn down my Sherpa-ism?
Sorry.
Here I am trying to guide you through a new exciting world of science fiction books. And you are just thumbing your nose at me.
I am happy with my historical science fiction.
This is just very traditional child behavior. Parents spend their whole life trying to give kids good advice about things. Hey, you might like this. This is good for you. You should eat some broccoli.
Let me
you might
go
like
at it,
it
in my own time,
and
why don't
instead,
you? Let me go
no,
at it in my own time.
No, I'm not going to eat that broccoli. I'm going to cross my arms.
Oh my
Even
God.
If I go, here comes the airplane.
Oh, my God.
Open up. Nope. You're not opening up. You, come on, this is good. You'll like broccoli.
Uh-huh.
You'll like it. And guess what? And guess what happened?
What?
You liked broccoli.
Yeah.
And Detroit Become Human.
Okay.
And Lord of the Rings.
Uh-huh.
And all the other things that you didn't say you didn't like.
And I still
and then,
don't really like DBH, though.
Well, you don't like what?
DBH.
You do so? That was your fandom for at least 2 years. And you still have a crush on Clancy Brown.
Yeah, well, he's a gorgeous man. But you know
he
who's
is.
Also...
Having met him in person, I can attest.
You know who's also a gorgeous man?
He is impressive.
Arjun Gupta, playing Penny 23 right here.
Do you think Arjun Gupta is taller than Clancy Brown?
Absolutely not. But you know, they find out that Stoppard is actually trying to save his mom from dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's trying to get them out of the timeline. And Marina is very blasé about it. You know, she says, you know what? Moms die every day. Circle of life.
Do you think the Adventure Zone ripped off this idea?
No, I do not think so.
I mean, it's just like Crystal Kingdom.
Because Taz ended in... The original Taz ended in 2016, which... is not when this episode aired.
When did this episode air?
In 2018.
So do you think that the Magicians ripped off Crystal Kingdom?
No.
Why not?
I don't think they were. It was even on their radar.
Maybe.
But you know what? Penny 23 and Marina sneak back into Stoppard's place, and they use the time FaceTime device that Stoppard has built to talk to his mom. and ask her to stop using Cinnabar. She says, no thanks, losers. I've got these awesome watches that are going to keep my brain functioning forever. Fuck you guys.
It would have been funnier if it was Cinnabon.
Cinnabon?
Yes.
No.
I'm not going to quit Cinnabon.
No. But she says, I choose both. I'm going to have my son, and I'm going to live to a long, happy age.
Yeah, we know better.
Yep. And so then they travel back to the physical kid's cottage, and, you know, Marina's like, well, I'm going to go take the machine back, and I'm going to travel back to timeline 40 to be with my future wife. So Penny 23 says, no, you can't do that. We're going to, like, make this guy's mom die. That's awful. And so they do a little slap fight, and then Penny 23 takes the machine and gets traveled away.
Mm.
So then we see Q and Julia. They've gone to a museum to try and figure out what the hieroglyphics mean, and the monster shows up. Spooks Quentin, he breaks a vase. Jennifer is drunk and has been drinking tequila, almost got hit by a bus. And
they're like, we need to translate this hieroglyphics.
Unhelpful. Yeah.
So we can figure out what's going on. And so Jennifer says, all right, well, let's ask somebody who knows.
Yep.
And they magically reanimate
a
mummy.
A mummy.
Yes.
And then we get this really wonderful, funny little scene that's just so awkward and great, where they just, like, are watching this mummy write out, like,
on a whiteboard.
Glyphs on a whiteboard quietly and politely.
Yes. Well, they left his legs bounded up too.
Yeah,
that was,
well,
kind of rude.
No, it's funny though. But it writes out the script and it says that, you know, the god they're looking for is Heka, who's the god of magic and medicine, but they died and their thingy was in the temple, but then the temple got looted.
Yet another quest.
And so then the monster's like, well, this is boring, I'm gonna leave.
By the way, Monster Elliot is wearing a fabulous shirt.
Yeah, but it's not a Garfield shirt, so
no,
it's not,
but it says
perfect.
It has a bear on it, and yeah, the bear says, What does he have? A sign that says, put your head in my mouth?
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
It's a very funny shirt.
But then there's this great little awkward silence while they just all stare at each other after the monster leaves. And then Julia just says, bye. And then they
they leave, and the mummy
just
is just left there.
The mummy's just left there.
So wait a second. What happens to that mummy? Is that mummy still alive and
yes,
just living
clearly
out its best life?
Living out its best afterlife.
It's kind of a mess, though, right? Yeah. It's like rotted corpse and it can't talk.
Yes, exactly.
So what kind of life is that for a mummy?
I don't know.
I mean, on one hand, they could become the world's greatest Egyptologist, right?
That is true.
But on the other hand, all they can speak is hieroglyphics.
And they also have a lisp because they had a hook in their brain.
And that's true. And their brain was pulled out of their nose.
Yep.
Which is probably very unpleasant to
have
happen.
Lots of snotty.
Well, no, it's just you have
the biggest booger in the world.
You have no brain.
Yeah.
Like they chunk up your brain and reach up your nose and pull it out in chunks.
I am aware.
And then
they
put them in canopic jars.
Yep.
And then all their guts are in there too.
Yep.
So this mummy is alive but has no guts.
Yeah.
So do they need to eat?
No.
No? You don't think so?
No.
All right. Well, then it's a good thing that their face is all wrapped up and gross looking.
Yeah. You know who does need to eat, though?
Who does?
Alice and Sheila. And we see them practicing magic.
Yes.
And, you know, Alice says, you know, magic has a way of breaking things. It just always does bad stuff. And this is where Sheila says, you know, alcohol, drugs, money. I used to think the same thing about those things, but they aren't bad or good. They just are.
Yep.
It's what you do with them is
I agree.
What gives them meaning.
I think that's the best message the show has given its audience.
Yep, and that's what is...
And that's what you should listen to.
And that's what's in The Magician's Land.
There's
as well.
No shame in being rich or powerful.
Well, there's a little bit of shame in being rich and powerful.
No.
Especially
wrong.
Rich.
No, wrong. Wrong.
If you're like millionaire rich, then that's a bad thing.
No, hang on. It's what you do with it. If you could be millionaire rich,
you know, if you
what would you do if you were
wealth?
If let's say you wrote a comic book.
If I was millionaire rich,
yeah,
I would get rid of all that money to the point where I was no longer millionaire rich.
You
want
to be able
not,
to support yourself at
no,
least.
No, because it is not fair to
don't you
want to
remove the pressure of responsibility
sure,
of your
but
life.
Like, it's not ethical to hoard that much wealth.
Well, I'm not saying hoard it, because then you could use it to, like, commission other people to create art,
uh-huh,
or, you know, fund Kickstarters or Indiegogos, or you know, become a patron or start a school or start a medical clinic for somebody or like there's things you can do with money.
That's true.
There's no shame in being.
There's only so much you can give away before it accumulates back if you're that rich.
No shame in being rich. It is what you do with it.
This is a lesson.
Again,
if you're a millionaire, you should feel bad about it.
Based
yourself.
On what we were talking about earlier, advice that your father is giving you. That you should probably listen to.
If you're rich, like Jeff Bezos rich, then you should feel bad about yourself.
No, what you should be feel bad about is that your employees are being
paid. I'm talking directly to you.
Is that your employees
are
being...
You're a piece of shit.
Okay, hang on. Language. First of all, what he should feel bad about
is that he's a soul-sucking demon who doesn't pay his workers.
That's the thing he should feel bad about. Is that
he hoards wealth
that
and he can literally end world hunger, but he chooses not to.
Exactly. That's part of it as well. Yes, he should be paying his employees a fair wage. He should take care of all their...
He's a terrible person.
Well, he's not a good king.
He's a terrible person.
He's essentially a king.
He's a terrible
person. But he's a bad king because he's making a lot of wealth on the backs of other people and not letting it... paying those people back for that, helping him get to where he is.
Ugh.
Your leg is very sweaty. Will you not lean it against me, please?
We're sitting right next to each other.
Oh, my God. Stop it. You're just hot. It's hot and sweaty in here.
Uh-huh.
I don't need my little sweat ball rubbing all over
me. Thanks. All
right.
You know what will make you not sweaty? Water. And Alice goes to get a drink from the sink.
And it's bad water.
And it's bad water. It's full of lead. All the pipes have lead in them. They're all corroded and bad. So she removes the lead.
Yay.
And Sheila's like, what the fuck? Can you, like, do that for all the water in the town? And Alice is like, I mean, yeah, but there's not enough ambient magic.
So Sheila's like, let's go get some.
Well, the pipes, the library controls the levels that flow through the pipes of ambient magic. But Sheila can feel one of the pipes, and it has a crack in it. So then we see Josh and Margot, and Josh has set up this elaborate feast to in order for Margot to have a diplomatic meeting with Lady Pike. And Josh is like, you can tell a person, you can tell what a person is like by the food that they eat. And, you know, Lady Pike takes a mongoose egg with caviar. It means she's lonely but bold and proud. You know, ask her about her alpacas. So Margot asks about her alpacas. And apparently they have a lack of self-esteem. And, you know, Lady Pike offers Margot some alpaca milk.
Why do the alpacas have a lack of self-esteem?
Because they've been shaved every once in a while. And
what do you mean once in a while? Like three times a year?
Yeah, and they feel ashamed of being naked.
Yes, exactly. Shy
and
alpacas.
Margot's like, you know, I ran on a platform of animal equality. So, you know, we're here. We're here for the animals.
And so Lady Pike says, all right, here's some
drink some milk.
Disgusting cream that I brought from home.
Yep.
And they both drink the creamy milk.
And it's fucking disgusting. But Margot's like, wow, you can really taste the love.
And she's like, what a unique way to put that.
And Margot's like, hey, you know, maybe you could give us your beets. That would be great. But Lady Pike says, nope, I already promised them to Queen Rue. I'm not going to go back on my word. And so then Josh and Margot kind of regroup. And Josh says, hey, you gotta double down on the diplomacy. You're doing great. In fact, you're out Elliot-ing Elliot. So Margot takes offense at that.
Yes.
And takes a knife and stabs it into the table and says, you're gonna give me those fucking beets. And and because you're gonna give me those beets, I won't skin and eat your tasty alpaca children.
Speaking of which, can we talk about how good those strawberry tarts look that Josh had?
Yes. Josh is a good cook.
He is a good cook. But he made a lot of them.
Yes.
What is he going to do with all that extra
food? He's going to give them to us.
He's going to give them to who?
Give them to us.
Other people in the...
Us.
Do you think other people in the castle get the leftover food from those regal events?
I'm sure they do.
Shouldn't they just be invited to those regal events?
No.
Why not?
Because they're the staff.
Well.
And that's... And Fillory is like a feudal kind of hierarchy thing, so...
I think Fillory is in need of some democratic
reform. Didn't really work.
All right, so that resolves that plot line.
Well, not yet.
Oh.
So then we see Penny 23. He has traveled to this alternate dimension that is all white.
He has traveled to Sartre's No Exit.
And you know who else is there? Penny. Original Penny. But he's not our boy anymore.
Well, he's
My son.
Well, he's
That's
just
not
a,
my
he's
son.
He's just undergone a profound personality change
and
because of his circumstance.
And it's awful and it's bad.
Well,
and
he's
sucks.
Now in a suit and that changes people.
He's drank the Kool-Aid and it sucks. And we will
dearly Penny miss him. Penny in the book was the same way.
Yeah, but Penny in the book was a different character altogether.
Right, but it's still Penny and it's
and
still
also
following.
We never saw him, so we never got his attack.
We saw less of him.
Yeah.
I mean, the only difference between this Penny and the other Penny from the book is that he's not riding a cool Segway.
Yes, he's not riding a cool Segway.
And he has both his hands.
Or a hoverboard.
And he's not wearing a robe.
Yeah.
And he's not, but doesn't have like a flock of acolytes. Penny 23
meets Penny 40 and this between space between the afterlife and timelines. And, you know, Penny 40, he's like, yeah, you're the guy that took my spot. You know, I didn't expect that twist of Julia, but... and so they kind of talk about how everything feels wrong, you know, Penny 23 feels that everything feels wrong. And so Penny 40's like, you know, so you just pick something. And Penny says to Penny, you have to go back to where you belong. And Penny 23 says, yeah, I know, we're trying to get back to Timeline 23. And Penny 40 says, no, you have to go back to Timeline 40. That's where you belong now. And he says, you know, all those people that were your friends in Timeline 23, they're still alive in Timeline 40. And Penny 23 says, yeah, but they're not my people.
Again, I disagree.
I agree. Because they're not the same people. They haven't had the same shared experience. So now you get to
learn about them.
No, but it's different. They're different people. Yes, you can forge new friendships and all that stuff. But I don't think that you should approach a person from a different timeline expecting the same reaction. No,
that's true. But you at least have a better starting place to which to approach them. Where you say, look, there's certain things I knew about you in my reality.
Uh-huh.
That is that still true? And then it gives you a foundation in which to make new friendships.
Yeah, but I just don't think it's ethical to like try and enter a relationship with someone that you don't have any history with. I don't think it is, especially if it's like extra weird. I think
when you're dealing with extra other dimensions, you have to make some allowances for ethics.
Uh-huh. But
no, don't uh-huh that.
Uh-huh.
I want some conversation about that.
Uh-huh.
You're just like tacitly agreeing.
I don't think that it's ethical that Penny 23 tries to get into a relationship with Julia with the expectation that she's going to love him back because that was their relationship.
Well, the yeah, timeline. I mean, he shouldn't be surprised if it doesn't happen, but at least he should try because he knows that in that other timeline she had feelings for him, and maybe there's a possibility that he goes, look, in our other timeline, we got along. I'd like to get to know you better. Maybe there's something here.
Yeah, like that's okay, but just like the idea of like just going back just to like.
Well, yeah, no, it's not going to be like ding, we're in love again, right? That's dumb.
Yeah, and you know that's what like Marina does.
Right.
And,
well, that's Marina though.
Yeah, but it's just she's it's a just, bad guy. It just seems she's not a bad guy, but it just seems she's like she's not a bad
she
guy.
She wears all black.
She's not a bad guy. She's just a lesbian. But. But Penny 40 says, listen, I know about your future and I know about the future. Sonya can't be saved. Her illness is terminal. She'll die in a month. So it really doesn't matter that you guys are in Timeline 40 anyway. But there are bigger things at play here than her and this kid's mom. So sorry, but, you know, that's how it's gotta be. And Penny 23 says, Katie wants you. They all want you. And Penny 40 says, you know, it's not my timeline anymore. And, bull fucking shit, guys, for both of them. Because, only Katie has said that, like, oh, I want my Penny back. Because every other fucking part of this friend group have been shitty when it comes to Penny. The only person who ever tried to bring him back, aside from Katie, was Alice. Everyone else just kind of, like, moved on from his death.
Because he died.
Yeah, but, like, if you have the ability to bring someone back to life in your universe, wouldn't you attempt to bring him back? The two people that they never attempt to bring back from the dead is Penny 40, normal Penny, and Quentin. Those are the only two people they don't attempt to save.
Well, you know why.
Every other person they attempt to save and succeed in bringing back, and it is so fucking shitty.
You know why they didn't bring him back?
Spite. Spite, and because Jason Ralph left the show.
It's because those people are boring at parties.
No. But Penny 40 says to Penny 23, right before he leaves, he says, when the moment comes, I say do it. Do what he says. And with that, you know, and he also says, tell Katie I love her and I'm sorry. And then Penny 23 disappears. I also hate that. I hate that so much because that means Penny 40 is also complicit in Quentin's death. And I hate that because I love Penny, but I hate Underworld Penny so much because they're not the same person anymore. They drank the Kool-Aid and now he's a garbage character who's a pod person and it sucks. Hate it. Hate it.
You're carrying a lot of vitriol for a person that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, dude. Welcome to my life. But then we see Sheila.
Maybe you should read some new books and so Alice. You can find some new characters to like.
I have been reading a new book.
Like Dune. You could read
that. No, Cemetery Boys is very good. It's by Aidan Thomas.
All right, so Sheila and Alice.
Sheila and Alice, they... we find get to a see crack this in the pipe. Skyrim POV of Sheila's fucking hand dowsing the magic. It's just called
first-person
camera. It's very funny to me. It just looked very funny.
First-person camera.
So then they find the pipeline, and they break it open, and they bring back the magic. And that hedge that we see at the shop earlier...
this was like a very fast... He senses the magic. This was like a very fast... sub-sub-plot in this episode, where the magic comes back, he's like, doing! Hey, I'm gonna tell my other friend, who's also a hedge witch.
Well, he lights some flames with the George Lucas candle.
Right, it said famous people from Modesto. No, wait, here's a question.
Yeah.
Who is the other famous person from Modesto?
It's just George Lucas.
It's just George? Yeah, I would agree with that.
But they clear the lead in the pipes, and Alice says, you know, I can't remember the last time that magic like wasn't the problem.
Yeah, good for Alice.
And this they toast by drinking the newly cleaned water.
They should have been like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, let's
turn this into still wine tap water. Instead. Yeah.
It tastes awful. So then we see Q and Julia. The monster is going through drawers looking for medication.
Right.
And the monster blasts Quentin back because Quentin tries to get the drugs out of his hands. He's like, hey,
don't
take all that stuff.
Don't do drugs.
So then he's like, what are you doing? Stop it. You're going to destroy your body. Those aren't good for you. You promised to take care of Elliot's body. And the monster says, you know, Elliot. Why do you care about him so much? And well,
didn't you watch that
Quentin,
episode?
And Quentin
There's
says,
a whole episode that they showed in the flashback.
Quentin says, I just do, you know, but if you fuck up your body, you know, if you harm a hair on his head, if you do anything to his body, I'm going to fucking destroy you. I'm no longer going to help you make your own body. I'm going to die trying to burn you to the ground. So then Jennifer fucking chokes Quentin. This whole time Julia is just watching, by
the
way.
Hell, Julia?
And Quentin, once again, beep, 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 beep. Quentin Coldwater, depression spiral watch. He says, as he's getting choked by the monster, break my bones, strangle me, I'm too tired to care anymore. That is 100% serious and sincere in that scene. Yeah. He is not playing it for anything.
Well,
he means it 100%.
Yeah, of course he's tired. He's been, how many episodes is he having to put up with this bullshit?
Once again, I'm just pointing out that this is another
red flag
yes. of Quentin of having this terrible downward spiral this entire season.
Well, yeah, his best friend has been co-opted by some
best
horrible...
friend and his ex-husband.
Yes, exactly.
Very sad.
Yes.
And he says, you know, take one more bill and you can build your body on your own. And the monster says, fine, you know, it's stop being so dumb. And then he walks away.
Yep.
And it's just and then we see Margo and Josh.
It'll all be fine in a few more episodes, right?
I'll strangle you like the monster strangled Q. I'll get you.
That's elder abuse. How dare you?
But we see Margo and Josh, and there's a trail of broken items up to where Margo's staring at a window. And Josh is like, hey, Margo, are you okay? And she says, how dare you say that I out-Elliot-ed Elliot? Why would I want to do anything without him? And, you know, this whole time Margo's been, like, keeping all of this emotion inside of her grief for Elliot. Because remember earlier she says,
yeah, I won't stop.
You know, if I ever start crying, I won't stop. And Josh is like, sorry, I just wanted to help. I mean, I didn't mean it when I said that. And she's like, no, you meant it, you know. And you know, why would you just, like, you just want to, like, you know, get in my pants or whatever. You think you know me because, you know, like, I don't like rosé and I like this food. You don't know me. You're just a brown-nosed sweater boy desperate to help anyone at all.
That was mean.
Yeah, and
Josh
then
didn't deserve that.
Immediately Margo takes it back and she's like, I didn't mean it. But Josh says, I know exactly who you are, Margo. And he walks away. It's very sad. So then we see Stoppard, the original Stoppard that caught him. And Penny 23 is there. And he has a little dandelion and, he's like, sorry, but, we have to go back to the timeline and your mom is just like, there's bigger things at play than your mom.
Your mom's doomed.
And Stoppard says, you know, you suck, basically. And Penny 23 is like, you see what I have here? I have this dandelion. And Stoppard's like, yeah, it's from another dimension. Please don't blow it, because it'll scatter the seeds everywhere, and they'll take root and create anomalies, and I won't ever be able to clean the timeline. And Penny 23 is like, well, I already blew 10 of them earlier. Which just is so sad, though, for, like, poor Stoppard. His mom's gonna die.
Well, there's nothing he could do to stop it anyway.
Yeah, but then they just, like, basically travel back. So then we see Sheila and Alice, and they walk by a fire hydrant that's, like, bursting. And there's, like, a bunch of kids. And Sheila's like, go play in the water, kids. It's clean! So then they go, and the kids, like, go play in the water. And then we see the hedge witches meeting up, and they're like, this is for all of us. And
there's only two of them,
and they blow up a library building.
The other two librarians walk into the building,
and then it explodes.
Very bad-looking
iMovie trailer-level CG explosion happens. And then we see Sheila. She's happily going back to her house, and we see Gavin, the librarian who's a traveler, and another guy, and they're like, well, Sheila, you've been busy. And then we see Alice eating gummy bears,
off-brand gummy bears.
Watching the kids play in the fire playing with the water, and she's actually smiling.
Yeah, because the whole episode, she just looks like she's in pain.
Yeah, well, that's Alice most of the time. But yeah, she's actually happy. Yeah, and is the end of the episode.
That should have been the end of Alice.
Now, listen, I agree, actually. This is the perfect culmination of Alice's arc.
Sure.
She goes from having magic in her life being the worst thing ever, and, you know, she has such a complicated relation to magic that she, like, wants to take it away from everyone because she believes that it only causes harm. You know, and then she learns that knowledge is actually power, and that, you know, you can use magic for good. It just is what you do with it. It's not actually a bad or good thing. It's just this neutral thing. And she finally realizes that she can do good with magic. That is, like, the perfect culmination of Alice's arc in the show.
Sure.
And for her character. Completely different, obviously, from Alice in the books, but no less good.
Yeah.
And it's just this wonderful culmination. And if they had drawn out this plot line and made it more complicated or whatever, and really had some, like, bonding moments of Sheila and Alice and stuff, then it would have really been super impactful to see Alice be by herself this whole time.
And then they could have fired her at the end of that.
No. Because then it would have made her coming back to help her friends even more impactful than it already is, because she's finally come to this, like, realization that magic doesn't have to be a terrible thing in her life.
That's good.
And I think that's, like, that would be such a great
place.
Maybe
you should write this show.
Well, the show's canceled.
All right. Well, let's, what are you going to rate this out of how many, what was it?
God beans.
How many beans?
God beans.
How many beans are you giving this?
I'm giving this episode,
what's our top
4
number?
Out of 5 God beans.
5 beans?
4 out of 5 God beans. I like this episode because I do like all the Quelliot moments, but I don't like seeing Quentin spiraling. It makes me sad. I do, I also kind of like, I just really like the little funny bit with the mummy, and,
yeah,
you know, it's a more Alice-centric episode, but it's really good. It kind of focuses a lot on, like, you know, complicated relationships with magic, and also I'd say with grief, because Alice, you know, grieves magic and its place in her life, and Quentin is grieving Elliot, and Margot is grieving Elliot as well, and so you have all these interesting things that come into play because of that, which I find really fun.
All right.
And what are you going to rate this?
I will rate it a 3.5 because I see it as the start of a lot of useless quests again.
Uh-huh.
Right? There's too many lame-o quests that are starting up as a result of this.
Just wait till next episode.
Oh, I can't wait.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, yeah. There we go. That's what I'm voting.
Oh, that's it?
3.5, yeah.
Oh, that's okay. It.
All right. So, what's going on in the world of magicians? You already talked about some of this
stuff. Right now is still the Magician's Big Bang all throughout the month of August. People have been posting fics with art, and it's really cool to see all the new writing that's been coming out. Once again, Jason Ralph, Trevor Einhorn, Summer Bischel, Olivia Taylor Dudley are all doing cameos in support of the Covenant House Charity Fund, and you can still donate to Covenant House. And probably, you know, Philanthropy Bitches might come back next year. We don't know yet, but that's a pretty cool thing, too. But yeah, right now it's just mostly the Magician's Big Bang that's been happening.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
And where can people find out more or contact us about all this
stuff? You can find us at fillerandfather@gmail.com. Send us an email at fillerandfather on Twitter and fillerandfather on TikTok. Where can people find you?
I don't know where. you can find me on Instagram, Mighty Bedbug, Twitter, Mighty Bedbug. That's really the big ones, I guess, except for Facebook.
Uh-huh.
If you want to look up me on Facebook, or if you want to watch me on Game Master Movie, and you'll see Evelyn there too.
I am there.
And Mrs. Rogers, and a picture of Jack.
Yeah.
All right. And then what? What about? Oh, you're pointing at yourself like you want me to ask you where can people find you?
You can find me at @wow_then on Twitter, @fishydwars on Instagram, and on Patreon, also under the name Evelyn Rogers, and you can find my website, EvelynLeeRogers.com. You should support my Patreon because I am working on a bunch of secret projects right now, and one of them, which is going to be very long form, and will be consistently updated. But
is it magician-related?
It is not magicians-related, but there is a couple other magicians-related long-term projects that I'm currently working on that I upload.
Including your video game.
Including my video game, still in progress.
Yes, one day. We'll see this
one day.
All right, well, guess what?
What?
We did it.
We did it!
Yay!
Yeah, we will see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, to remember, we're going by. And we're going to see you. You can hear us in
next
2 weeks.
Time.
On the Fillery and Father.
Yay!
We did it.